$839. This is your chance to get the guitar that changed the world, and a whole lot more, only at Guitar Center Stratophonic. Now through Sunday, April 13th at Guitar Center.
Walgreens makes it easy to score game day snacks in a flash. You'll find your favorites like Planters peanuts, Ritz crackers, and soda at Walgreens.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And joined, of course, by Dan Strauss and Ian the Peon. Everybody
hello.
Okay?
Yes, good, Paul.
Yeah.
What size are the hail balls today? None, right?
2.5 inches.
I said the hail.
Oh.
It's better than some hail size pee. Ah! Hey, hey, hey.
I want to tell you.
What? What incarnation? Yeah.
Today, just a really, really windy day. Boy, these last 48 hours have been weird.
Yes.
I remember right around this time on Wednesday, we were getting that first hailstorm of the year coming through. And I was actually on the phone with my daughter, who was in Argentina this semester. And we're on FaceTime on our iPhones. And I'm talking to her, and she says, "What is that crackling sound?" And I went over to the window and I showed her the video of it because it's, you know, summer there, well, going into fall for them. So very, very odd for her to see the backyard all of a sudden, like in 45 seconds, covered in white.
Yeah, it looked like snow all over the ground, didn't it?
Yeah. And yeah. She said, how big are those? How big is that hail? And I said, I don't know.
Like hail, I don't know.
I said, like the size of a chickpea. So then I texted her a couple hours later and said, well, it's mostly melted. Now we just have a fine layer of hummus. That's all that's left. And then yesterday, everybody was awakened by those sirens and the storms moving through here. And people in University City still picking up from that. And there are twigs and branches down all over the place. And then today we have this. And then isn't it supposed to be back to 70 this weekend?
I don't know. Maybe
that's wishful thinking 60, on my
yeah,
part.
Yeah, I think wishful thinking. I think in the maybe 60.
My favorite moment of watching TV weather coverage, because you know that the meteorologists at the TV stations, this is their moment to shine.
Oh, their Super Bowl.
This is like if love it. This is like 2 weeks ago, if you were an aviation expert and you were on CNN all the time, that MH370 story was your Super Bowl. Well, the last 48 hours were the Super Bowl, and especially yesterday, because I think the TV stations give the meteorologists the power to cut into any programming they want at any time.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what's happening on the air.
Yes.
They can go in, push the button. I have to interrupt right now to tell you there's something really bad coming.
But we had waves. We had one wave come in, and then we had another wave come in, and they were like, you're right.
It was
the
funny.
Super Bowl
Channel 2. Didn't buckle. They had to put side by side of the result show.
Oh, they
of
did.
American Idol.
I saw that.
So they couldn't go full screen.
But you couldn't hear it.
You couldn't hear a
you
music
couldn't hear
show.
Idol. You couldn't hear it. All you saw was them, Ryan Seacrest, going, just kind of moving around.
Performing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silently performing.
I didn't see that. I didn't know
And then
about
Channel
that.
4 had to say, We apologize for the viewers of Big Bang Theory and the Millers. We have a call in to CBS, you know, our home, I don't know what
they call
it.
The home network.
Our network. But they will not get back to us till tomorrow. So we won't know until tomorrow when we'll be able to replay those shows.
Yeah.
So,
which they usually do in the middle of the night, and they try to warn you ahead of time right. So you can set your DVR.
2:30.
That's what happens with soap operas. Right. You can catch As the World Turns this morning at 2:30 in the morning.
And that's fine if you're a fan of that show. It's great that we have that technology now. My favorite moment of the coverage yesterday was yesterday morning. My wife and I were awakened by the sirens and... Well, let me just go off on one little tangent here. I have a tip for homeowners or future homeowners. When you're looking around at a potential new home, and you walk in and you see that there are skylights in the bedroom, and it's a beautiful blue sky day, and you can look up at those skylights and you can see, wow, look at that. That lets the light in. This is so beautiful. It's going to be great to wake up in the morning and be able to see that right up there. You don't think at that moment, because this is what we went through 15 years ago, you don't think at that moment, what's it going to be like in a hailstorm?
Mm-hmm. Did it break them?
No, it didn't break them. Fortunately, we must have had the super double plexiglass thing.
Wow.
Well, we didn't put it on. It was the previous homeowners who had them installed. When we bought the house, they were there. I really felt like I was under attack.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've never been in the military, so I've never been in war, but it was like incoming shrapnel.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like coming down on those skylights. Biggest mistake I've made. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Biggest mistake of my life was getting that bedroom with the skylight. I love my house, but man, every year at this time, I think, we got to do something about that.
I only know a few people that have had skylights in their house, and the biggest problem I know that they've had is leaking.
No, we haven't had that, fortunately.
Oh, yeah. Not sealed correctly.
So when we were awakened by the sirens and the gunplay on our rooftop, we put on the TV and we're flicking around. For a few moments, we were watching Channel 5, and they have meteorologist Scott...
Connell?
Scott Connell was on there, and he said, the best thing I've ever heard anybody say during tornado season in St. Louis. All right, now you need to get to your basement and wear your shoes. And my wife actually said out loud, why would I have to put on my shoes? And Scott Connell, as if he were answering my wife, said, you're going to want to have shoes on in case you have to climb out of rubble.
Yeah. I always, you know what?
In a storm,
if it's really, really bad and there is a tornado approaching, because I never go in the basement.
Never?
Never. Unless I've gone in the basement one time in my life, and it was because a friend of mine's mom was yelling at us, and we were up pushing their shed back over, and then it would move back across, and we pushed it back over, and it moved, and then it started lifting up, and then we thought, well, maybe we'll, and his mom's yelling, get down the basement. We finally went down the basement because things started flying around.
Mm-hmm.
We went down the shed, went over the house, across the street, in the neighbor's backyard.
Wow.
And that's where the shed was. So that was the one time I did go in the basement. But I've been in like four tornadoes, four or five now.
Wow.
So it's, and I don't know what it is about me. I absolutely love storms. But the tornadoes don't bother me that much.
Hmm. Maybe that's because you haven't been directly in the path of one that's taken your house out.
No. Well, four houses down from us when I was a kid, half of the house was destroyed, and I saw the funnel cloud.
Wow.
So.
Well, we don't all, I'll be honest with you, we don't always go to the basement ourselves. When my daughter was home, we would, because she would be screaming, we have to get to the basement!
Yeah.
You know, because we've told her that, and she was told that at school, and, you know, we have a pretty good panic system in this country. I don't know about the rest of the world, but we lead the world in panic when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Oh, but
we teach it to our kids, and then they echo it right back to us, even though we're adults and we think we can look out the window and go,
yeah, I don't see anything yet.
I do always put my shoes on, though. I'll put my shoes on because in case something happens where glass flies in or glass breaks or something like that. So you do have shoes on.
I had never thought of that.
No.
I've gone down to the basement many times and never thought, oh, I got to get shoes on or something. I would be that guy walking out of there. And now I'd be like Bruce Willis as John McClane in the first Die
Shards
Hard.
In your feet.
With that triangular shard of glass sticking out and the blood everywhere. That would be me.
But
now, thanks to Scott Connell, I will never do that again.
I've never heard a meteorologist say that, though. Make sure you put your shoes on. Good
because you might be climbing out of the rubble. that was like taking it to the nth degree. Nice going, Scott. Yes. A lot of us did not think of that until you come along.
Did you see the interview they had with one of the ladies on in University City? And she said that the one girl said that the house was just the pressure was building up so much in the house. And the other girl said the pressure built up and the windows started breaking out. And she said glass was just stuck in the walls.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we're past it for at least a little while here and just wind today. And
I don't know. We were talking about it the other night. We think Mother Nature is going to have a year-long PMS run this year. I don't think it's going to be pretty.
Well, that report came out about 5 days ago from the climate change scientists, you know, talking about how it's affecting us worldwide and, you know, how, like, in our lifetime or our kids' lifetime, it's going to get to the point where there are going to be wars over food and that sort of stuff. You know, all of that post-apocalyptic stuff that you see in movies and you always think, that's science fiction. Let me tell you something. You forget your shoes one day.
Yes.
The next thing you know, you're climbing
out of your rubble with the
rubble.
Bare feet.
All right. One other thing I have to rant about here today before we get. I want to talk about the David Letterman retirement. But one other thing I have to rant about. Frank and I have something in common, and that is that we are sticklers for grammar. I've heard him on the air talking about this sort of thing, and I've talked about it a couple of times where people just used horrible, horrible grammar and didn't even know they were doing it because nobody ever stopped them. I'll just give you an example. My wife has had people at work saying things like, "Did you get that report, Ran?" Which is not actually correct English or Where's that location at?
Yeah, where's that at?
Yeah.
I used to have a college teacher at Flow Valley that said, between the A and the T, you never end a sentence in a preposition. That was drilled into my head. Anytime I hear somebody say, where's that at? It just drives me crazy.
Well, I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant because it's not the restaurant's fault. But and this wasn't actually the waitress who said this to us, but one of the bus boys who came and was clearing away some stuff. Like our appetizer before bringing us the entree, I wrote these five words down as soon as he walked away from the table. How's your guys' food tasting?
Your guy, yours guys or your guys?
Yours, actually. Yours. Sorry, I forgot the S at the end there. How's yours guys' food tasting?
Yours.
Now,
guys.
I'm sitting there with my wife. And part of it that is, I don't know when women joined the collective pronoun guys.
Yes.
I don't know when that happened because I've seen I've been out with my wife before and there'll be like three or four of her friends there. So it's like four women and me and we're now the collective guys.
I know.
Nobody ever comes up and says, hey, how are you gals doing if I'm sitting there? That doesn't happen. But guys now apparently includes. All right.
Yeah, just kind of morphed into just people.
Yes.
The meaning.
But in that sentence or that question, how's yours? No, it wasn't yours. I'm sorry. It was just how's your guys' food tasting? I wanted to call him back and say that was two words too many. Here's the correct question. How's your food?
Yes.
That's all. I mean, you don't have to say your guys. There's two of us at a table. You're addressing us. Y-O-U can be plural. You don't need you all, your guys, you guys, or any of that sort of stuff. How are you can be everyone in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So how's your food? We would know that you meant both of us, not one of us individually. I wouldn't turn to my wife and say, why is he asking you and not me? Maybe you can. We understand that's both of us. And then that adding the ing on the end of things. The other part of it that I get lately is, what are you wanting to do tonight? What are you wanting to do tonight? How about what do you want to do tonight? Stop adding ing on the end of words just because you think it fits in there. How's your guy's food tasting?
What? Oh, well, if you ask any guy what he wants to do, and if it's his wife or girlfriend or something.
Well, yes, I understand. I'll have an ing word in
it
there.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you ask. The answer's going to be the same.
I completely understand that. How's your guy's food tasting? I don't know. I will let you know when I am tipping. Later on. How is my food tasting, or how did it taste? Because we've already finished the food that you brought us, and you cleared that away. We'll tell you about the next food when it arrives.
Yes.
That's how we will know how our food is tasting. That's present tense, isn't it? How is something tasting?
Yeah.
Is it raining? No, doesn't quite work the same way. I want to take the break, and then we'll come back and do the whole Letterman thing. All right, because I've got some interesting analysis of David Letterman's retirement, and even better, a question of who could possibly take his place. Placing. We'll get to that in a moment here on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Kelly Jackson. Monday morning on McGraw Live. It's opening day.
Opening day. It's opening day.
You should all be wearing your Cardinal red. Cardinal fan Gail Pennington will be along to talk TV. David Stokes in studio talking local politics. And I'll have news twice an hour between 6 and 10 a.m. It's McGraw Live on the Big 550 KTRS.
Attention men, have you ever been embarrassed when the time was right but you just couldn't perform? Now you can. The secret is one visit to the St. Louis Men's Clinic. That's right. Men from 21 to 85 are performing better than ever before, regardless of age or medical condition. You get to try the medication containing FDA-approved ingredients right in their office. The medication gives you from 30 minutes to an hour and a half of full male performance. This is the most medically sound solution available, and all without surgery. Your total cost for the doctor's visit, all tests including PSA and testosterone, is only $199. If their medication doesn't work, you pay absolutely nothing. If you have erectile dysfunction or you just want to perform much better, call now, 314-282-8780. That's 314-282-8780. Get your confidence back. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. 314-282-8780. That's 314-282-8780.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-644-4945. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-644-4945. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-644-4945. That's 1-800-644-4945.
Don't miss opening weekend, April 11th through the 13th, when the Cardinals host the Chicago Cubs. There are great promotions all weekend long, featuring a 2013 National League Championship Series MVP Waka bobblehead, Molina and Wainwright gold glove, and a wearable replica of the 2013 National League Champions ring. Join the fun and welcome baseball back to St. Louis on opening weekend, April 11th through the 13th against the Cubs. Great seats still remain. Get your tickets now at Cardinals.com.
This is your MVP of the NLCS, Michael Waka.
Fans, this is Michael Waka. On Friday, April 11th, we play the Chicago Cubs. 25,000 fans, ages 16 and older, will take home my bobblehead celebrating last year's NLCS.
What a job by Michael Waka, and the Dodgers strand the bases loaded. Wow!
Again, that's Friday, April 11th, when we take on the Cubs. Take home my bobblehead. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions.
How long will it take you to pay off your credit card debt?
The rate we're going? Years and years and years.
I doubt we'll ever pay it off.
Pay it off? We're getting further behind.
The fact is, if you're just making minimum payments, you could be paying off your credit cards for a very, very long time.
Not me. I'm wiping the slate clean and saving a bundle.
That's right. There is a way you could settle your debt far sooner than you think. Call America's number one debt relief specialist, Freedom Debt Relief, right now and find out how. Unlike a debt consolidation company, Freedom Debt Relief offers a unique alternative that could resolve your debt sooner through a low monthly program payment. Some people are saving thousands. For important free information, call 1-800-400-8549. This is your chance to finally wipe the debt slate clean and put your credit card debt behind you. Get the free information you need. Call 1-800-400-8549. 1-800-400-8549.
Did you know that a Nobel Prize was awarded for a medical discovery that improves your sexual performance? It's true. Nitric oxide was discovered to improve your sexual performance. It also miraculously improves your heart health, blood pressure, energy levels, your immune system, diabetes, arthritis pain, even your memory and mood. That's why millions of men and women have begun taking nitric oxide boosters as daily supplements. And right now, we're releasing free bottles of peak nitric oxide so you can discover the benefits for yourself. Be one of the first 100 callers at 1-800-400-3181. After extensive research and clinical tests, nitric oxide has been described as the miracle molecule of the 21st century. Taken once a day, you'll not only begin feeling years younger, but we'll also send you free test strips to prove it works. Discover how to get your free bottle of peak nitric oxide and free test strips at 1-800-400-3181. Be one of the first 100 callers. 1-800-400-3181.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. On the Big 550 KTRS, Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, he on the peon. Later on, Joe Hipperson, Bill Clubland, Mike Evans, Knuckleheads in the News, and the Harris Challenge. That is the Paul Schaefer written piece that has been the theme song for The Late Show with David Letterman. And yesterday afternoon, he surprised a lot of people by making an announcement on his show that after... Well, by the time he hangs it up next year, after nearly 33 years in late night, 34 years if you include his morning show before that on television, plus a couple of years before that of guesting on and guest hosting for Johnny Carson, David Letterman announced yesterday that he was going to retire.
The question I get a lot from people on the street, they come up to me and they say, Kathy Lee,
I know.
How much longer?
I know they do.
How much longer do you think you can be doing this?
People are already saying that?
Yeah, they say that to me all the time. They've been saying it to me for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I said, when this show stops being fun, I will retire 10 years later.
Yeah, that's a pretty good line. And he actually went on for almost 10 minutes last night in the second segment of his show and talked about that, talked about his son, Harry, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that the people who were watching it thought, oh, this is a bit. Now, this next piece of audio I'm going to play for you is him actually making the announcement. And in this audio, you'll hear a pause after he says it, and then Paul Schaefer says, really? And then he says it again, and then there's a pause where you can tell the studio audience there in the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, they're not 100% sure, is he kidding? And then he reaffirms that he's really going to do this, and they kind of seem like, oh, okay, is Dave actually telling us that he's quitting the show? And then he builds up to a kind of a funny line, and I think that people in the audience at that moment thought, oh, it was just a bit. I thought Dave is so crazy. He's telling us he's going to retire. That was just kind of, but then it went back around again, and they finally realized, oh, he's really announcing it, and then they gave him a long-standing ovation. But listen to this, and listen for the pause that it's kind of an uneasy moment because I think that he was thinking, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get a reaction from the audience. And the reaction he got was silence.
Earlier today, the man who owns this network, Leslie Moonves, he and I have had a relationship for years and years and years. And we've had this conversation in the past, and we agreed that we would work together on this circumstance and the timing of this circumstance. And I phoned him just before the program, and I said, Leslie, it's been great. You've been great. The network has been great, but I'm retiring.
This is really?
Yep.
This is true. This is, you actually did this?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Well, do I have a minute to call my accountant? Because I
I just want to reiterate my thanks and for the support from the network, all of the people who have worked here, all of the people in the theater, all the people on the staff, everybody at home. Thank you very much. And what this means now is that Paul and I can be married.
Right there, it sounds like, oh, he is doing a bit.
Well, yeah, and the way Paul was reacting to it, it sounded like this is all set up.
Yes,
it's all scripted.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I think Paul Schieffer's reaction affected that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the audience was like, didn't know how to react. What are we supposed to do here? Are we supposed to clap, laugh? It's not really funny. Well, let's wait for the payoff. And then that seemed like that was the payoff. Now we can get married. But no, he actually was announcing that he's going to retire from his show. Hasn't set a date yet. Some people have asked why now. Why would he decide to do it now? And I have a couple of theories on that. And I've been a David Letterman fan since he made his first appearance on the Carson Show in 1978. And then when he started doing his morning show.
Monkey
and then
Cam.
Started,
oh,
all
my
the,
goodness.
All the stuff he did in late night on NBC. Everything he did there was genre bending or busting in many cases, because before that the gold standard of late night television was Johnny Carson for all those years, and there was a decade where the two overlapped, and in that decade when Dave was at NBC, he and his then girlfriend and head writer Meryl Marco completely changed what you could do and what you should do on late night television, and now all the other people who have followed him have copied him or taken ideas that he started and taken them to the next step. But back to why he's doing this now. A couple of things. When Johnny Carson announced that he was going to be leaving the Tonight Show in 1991, it was May of 1991, and then he stayed on the air for another year, he told the network, I'm going to do this for another year, and then we're done. Johnny knew that May is a big sweeps ratings month, but he also knew that that was when the network upfronts are. The network upfronts are when each network, and in those days just a few, now, of course, 1,000 networks, they do their presentations to the advertising community. They invite all the potential advertisers and ad agencies into a big place. Maybe it's Radio City Music Hall. Maybe it's some convention center, some hotel ballroom, wherever it is. A couple of thousand or thousands of people are there, and the network will make their presentation about, here are the new shows we're going to put on this fall, and we would like you to advertise on them. And they give them a sample. And usually the stars of the network will come out not in a parade sense, but they'll all come out one by one and say hello to the crowd and wave, and it's like, oh, here are the stars of, you know, well, you know, for the last few years at CBS, it was like How I Met Your Mother and The Big Bang Theory and Two Broke Girls, and that on CBS, I don't even know.
Yes.
Okay. So they would all get trotted out, and I guess Letterman would occasionally go there and do that, but not always. The important thing, however, was that the network was planning ahead and telling the advertisers, here's what we're going to do, and we want your advertising. And David is very, very smart about that sort of stuff, and like Johnny Carson before him, knew that the upfronts are coming up, and he really should make the announcement now, because now CBS can charge more for the final year of The Late Show with David Letterman, because you'll get that parade of people coming by. Jay Leno,
all the big guests, yeah.
Right, Jay Leno didn't really get it, although towards the end in the last couple of weeks, he got a big boost because people were saying, well, this may really be the last time Jay is hosting the show. He may really go away after this and not come back. With Letterman, you can be sure he's not going to come back and host another show. There's no chance. So CBS can use the upfronts to sell the next year. And so Letterman is smart enough and has his own production company. He understands this. Okay, so that helps out the network that way. The other part of it is, why now? Because he's outlasted any of the real competition he's had throughout his career. He stayed on the air in late night television longer than Johnny Carson. Johnny did 30 years. Letterman will hit 33 years sometime late next year. He outlasted Jay Leno, who, you know, he and Jay were very close friends. When Dave had his NBC show, Leno was his number one go-to guest and used to come on and kill on that show. But then when Carson retired and NBC gave The Tonight Show to Leno instead of Letterman, that set up a bitter feud, a bitter rivalry between the two, split their friendship apart. Dave, sometimes during the whole Conan O'Brien thing, was being outright, I think, mean to Leno on the air. Leno, of course, always had that easygoing kind of thing, and never really shot back at Letterman all that much, maybe once or twice, but kind of in a joking way. But I think Letterman looked at it over the years like, okay, well, I'm not getting off this show until Leno is gone. And Leno was gone in 2009, and then he was back in 2010. And now here we are 4 years later, and Leno is gone and off there. And so Letterman can say, I outlasted Carson, and I outlasted Leno, and nobody is ever going to be able to break my record. So now I can say, I've said it. It's time to go. Also, Johnny Carson retired when he was 66. David Letterman, a week from tomorrow, is going to be 67 years old. That's a long time, and that's a completely different generation of people who are now, A, watching TV, and B, doing late-night TV. And I said that I've been a Letterman fan for a really, really long time. I can't tell you something David Letterman has done that made me go, wow, did you see Dave last night? For at least 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe more. In fact, I stopped recording Letterman. I recorded Letterman every night for 30 years. But about 3, 4, 5 years ago, I stopped because unless he was having a guest on who I wanted to see, Dave didn't have the wacky antics of the past anymore. He was really curmudgeonly old grumpy guy. And that wasn't fun to watch. I never thought his monologue was all that good. The stuff he was doing at the desk was almost like, okay, I'm going to sit down here. I didn't really look at this stuff beforehand, but the writers put something together right here, and I'm just going to read this to you, whether it's the top 10 list or the charts and graphs or the hometown news. I've done this a million times, and it's not going to be funny to me, but okay, here we go. That seemed to be his attitude, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's definitely been time for him to go. I also think that in his mind, when Leno announced that he was leaving, or when NBC announced Leno was leaving, let's be honest, Leno was squeezed out both times by NBC. I think that Dave thought, well, once Leno goes, I'm going to get a big ratings bump because I share audience with Jay, and those people who watch Jay are going to come right over to me. They're not going to stick around for this young guy, Jimmy Fallon, who's getting promoted from the 11:30 slot to the 10:30 slot. Well, guess what, Dave? That did not happen.
Yeah, I think you saw
that
how
more.
Jimmy just exploded.
It's only been a couple of months now, but the late-night landscape has changed because Jimmy Fallon's getting better numbers than Jay Leno did, and Jay Leno used to crush David Letterman.
It's a young guy's game, I think.
When you know, it's interesting. When Conan took over The Tonight Show for that 7 months or so, his ratings were terrible. Yeah. And Letterman actually went back to number one for about half of that time. But then when Leno came back, Letterman was number two, and in many nights, number three, and that's the way it is now. There are many nights where David Letterman loses to Jimmy Kimmel. He's losing to both Jimmys, Fallon and Kimmel. In fact, the comedian Albert Brooks tweeted yesterday, I guess CBS will be looking for a guy named Jimmy now. Which brings us to the next question, which is who can take over that time slot on CBS. There was an interesting column written by James Poniewozik, who's the Time Magazine TV critic, on their website, time.com today, in which he said, nobody should think of whoever takes over that slot as replacing Letterman, because Letterman does deserve his place in the pantheon of great TV innovators and great TV talk show hosts. But whoever takes it over is not going to be able to change the late-night landscape all that much. But let's run down some names anyway. Craig Ferguson follows Letterman. Although here in St. Louis, we get, what is it, Entertainment Tonight that runs at 11:30 or something.
And then, I don't know.
And Craig Ferguson comes on at midnight.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know, because with DVR technology, I don't have to know what goes yes. on in between there. And I used to like Craig Ferguson. I thought he was very interesting on that show. But lately, his stuff has been too much horsing around and not enough comedy and not enough of what made him original when he first started taking over that show. I don't think that CBS is going to give him, although he may have a clause in his contract that says if Dave leaves, Craig has the right of first refusal. I think that they're going to say to him, you're going to refuse this, aren't you, Craig? Because he's not right for that, particularly against the two Jimmies. He has never beaten Jimmy Fallon in that time slot of the 11:30 time, or, you know, the after Leno and Letterman time slot. Jimmy Fallon used to crush Craig Ferguson. So Ferguson's not going to get it. So who else could get it? Well, I heard somebody today say, well, this is a chance for Jay Leno to come back. Would never happen.
Mm-mm.
CBS is not going to trade in one guy in his 60s for another guy in his 60s and say, here's the future of our 10:30 time slot.
Right.
Did somebody say Arsenio Hall?
Well, Arsenio is already failing with his
I know.
Renewed
his show.
His
show is horrible.
Horrible.
Oh, it's horrendous.
You notice that he doesn't get any real name guests on there?
No. And he doesn't, nobody talks about his show.
No.
It's really bad.
Now, you remember the impact Arsenio had on Carson's last few years?
Yeah.
I mean, Dana Carvey capped it up perfectly on Saturday Night Live when he used to do his Johnny Carson impression, which was a great one, but he had the Arsenio haircut and he called him Carsenio.
Yes.
That was perfect, and it did actually have an impact on, I don't want to call it the demise of Carson, but certainly pushing Carson along, because Arsenio was getting the younger demos.
Mm-hmm.
But Arsenio is now a guy in his 50s. You know, time does things to people on TV, and it's not always pleasant. What you were doing as the state of the art 20 years ago doesn't mean it's going to work, and he is doing the exact same thing on his current show that he was doing 20 years ago. So Arsenio will not get it. Craig will not get it. I read today speculation that Ellen DeGeneres would be a good person for the job. Why does it have to be white guys? Why can't it be a white woman in late night? And I'll tell you why Ellen will not do that. She may get the phone call, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's no chance she would consider it. She already has a huge success.
Right. Yeah, she has her no competition.
She
why
is,
would she? You know?
After Oprah left, Ellen became the queen of daytime. She's got the show that celebrities want to go on during the day. She's got a party atmosphere. I don't watch the show, but I do know that it's hugely popular, particularly with women, which most late night shows aren't, by the way. And why would you give that up to go on TV and follow a guy who was a TV legend? That's always a problem. The guy who goes on there and follows him, it was like how tough Leno had it the first couple of years following Carson. But remember, Leno was a known quantity. He had been hosting Monday nights on Leno on Carson's show for 5 years by the time he took over. So he was a known quantity. Ellen, who is herself a known quantity, will be giving up a guaranteed job for as long as she wants it to go and take the risk of what if she loses to Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Then that's not good. So I guarantee you, Ellen DeGeneres will not take that. Okay, so who else is there? I heard today somebody say, what about Tina Fey or Amy Poehler if you're going to put a woman in late night? Neither of those women wants to do a talk show. I think that they want to continue doing what they're doing, which is terrific comedy. If they're going to do any kind of stand-up hosting kind of thing, let them just do the Golden Globes every year. They're really good at that, and they're really good together. But I don't think either of them wants to take over that slot. I think they like doing what started out as sketch comedy for them on Saturday Night Live, and now has turned into sitcoms and movies. That's their niche. They're not going to do it. Same thing applies to another name that was thrown around today, which is Neil Patrick Harris. Somebody wrote today, hey,
really?
Hey, he's out of work now because How I Met Your Mother is off the air after its finale on Monday night. Maybe they would want to give the shot to Neil Patrick Harris. After all, we know he can sing. We know he can dance. We know he can host. He's hosted all of the award shows and all the big ones, and he always gets good ratings for that. Maybe he would want to do it. No, I don't think so.
I can't see that.
I don't think he'd be right for that.
No.
Because the thing about Neil Patrick Harris is very good as a guest, very good as an award show host.
That's not the same as having to produce 5 hours of television every week. A new thing every night, coming up with ideas, and by the way, also interviewing other people. I remember when they took the idea of interesting guests and turned them into hosts, and you got the Magic Johnson Show and the Chevy Chase Show.
Oh.
And how did those work out?
That was hideous.
Not very well.
You remember the Pat Sajak Show?
Pat Sajak did it. Alan Thicke did it. All these other people did it. Okay, so what about Chelsea Handler? She just announced that she's not renewing her contract with E! Here's the problem with Chelsea Handler. 99.8% of Americans go, who?
Mm-hmm.
She's on E! Nobody watches E! Late at night except for 0.2%. She has virtually no ratings. Critics know her. The industry knows her. But she's not going to get that job.
Well, yeah. Wasn't she dating the head of E! Network? Isn't that essentially how she got the show?
I didn't even know that.
I think so.
Well, she was also on, was she on Girls Behaving Badly? I think she was.
I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea. Now, two other names that were thrown around. And these actually might make a little bit more sense. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Not together, but they work for Comedy Central, which is owned by Viacom, which is a sister company of CBS. So while they may be under contract to one wing of the company, you could see that contract being morphed into something that would allow them to do this. Couple of problems I see here in my amateur analysis. Number one, doing what they do in their specific niche, they're both very successful at it, and like Ellen DeGeneres, these guys can do that show for as long as they want. No one's ever going to tell Stephen Colbert or Jon Stewart, hey, the guy from the network's here, this is your last year. That's never going to happen because they're too successful. They bring in younger viewers than Letterman and Fallon and Kimmel and Ferguson. Their demographics in that 10 to 11 hour are terrific. Plus, they're doing something different than what is traditional late night talk television. The same kind of thing that's been on TV in that slot for more than 50 years now, which is monologue, band, desk, host, comedy bit, guests. They don't do that. Jon Stewart did do that. Remember, Jon Stewart had an MTV show in the 90s that was exactly that? I don't think he even had a band, but he had the set and the desk and would bring on people and kind of do that. He's moved on beyond that. Could you take The Daily Show in its current form and turn it into a one-hour show? Yeah, probably. Let them do the first half hour the way it is, extend the next half hour with other guests, but I think he would dilute what it is he does so well, and I'm pretty sure Comedy Central doesn't want to give up the big thing on their schedule every day because Chris Hardwick and After Midnight are not going to be able to fill that slot or anything else that's on there. Although I do think that Key and Peele are very, very funny, and I heard their names mentioned again, sketch comedy at 11:30 is not going to get a shot on CBS. So what about Stephen Colbert? Colbert, again, has a great half-hour show. He's really, really good at that. He's also doing something that nobody in television has done before, which is being that character even when he's interacting with his guests. He's improvising as another person every night. And he's brilliant at it. But if you took that and he wasn't being that Colbert character, but it was being himself, it wouldn't work. And if you tried to extend that half hour he's doing now to a full hour, again, you're diluting the greatness of what he has. So, what have we learned here today? All the names that you've heard bandied about as possible replacements for David Letterman, none of them will get the job.
How about Drew Carey?
No. Drew Carey filled in for Craig Ferguson the other night on his show.
Oh, that's right. They did an April Fool's thing.
Yeah. Not really an April Fool's prank when you tell people about it 2 weeks ahead of time in promos.
Yeah.
He was okay, but he can't carry it off either. And again, the networks are going to be looking for someone who can do the show for 20 years. They're not going to hire somebody in their 50s to do that show. Jimmy Fallon is 39 years old. Jimmy Fallon gets social media and viral videos. So does Jimmy Kimmel, who's in his early 40s. These guys are the new gold standard for late-night television. Who would be the person that CBS could pick up and put in that slot? I have no freaking idea. I can only tell you who's out there now who ain't getting it. And by the way, we didn't even mention Conan. don't bother. His numbers are not good on TBS.
Yeah, and he's in his early 50s.
And it also not going to be able to do it. They're going to find somebody new. They may even have somebody new already under contract and ready to go, but don't expect any of the people I just mentioned to be in the wings ready to go. And by the way, CBS should not be in a hurry. Letterman hasn't even announced his final show yet. He said it's going to be in a year or so. It might be in May of 2015. It could be in the fall of 2015. He'll set his own calendar and figure out when he goes. But they've got 6, 8, 9 months to figure out who it is and what'll it be. The answer does not have to come today. That's my analysis. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Meep, meep.
Maybe it could be Tim Weiland. He could leave the traffic job and move on to late night TV.
How would they fit the helicopter on the stage?
But he'd take a helicopter in and land on the roof.
Like a Miss Saigon kind of thing.
Yes.
You could bring it right into the theater.
That would be great.
Good thinking.
Yeah. All right, Tim. What do you think?
I like how you guys are planning out my future
for
me.
You're welcome.
I don't get social media, though, so I wouldn't be a very good
one. No, that's true. All right, you're off the list.
Okay, thanks. Oh, boy, do I feel better. If you're coming in on eastbound 40, they've got the Boone Bridge shut down. They had a barge broke loose and a crane hit the bridge, so they've got it shut down. You're getting diverting to Highway K-94. Westbound traffic is slowing now between the Spirit Overpass and the Boone Bridge. Southbound 270 picking up volume now. Manchester through Doherty Ferry downtown. Eastbound 40 is heavy. Union Station to the Poplar. And westbound 40, you are slowing at Hampton. And this traffic report brought to you by Applebee's. Applebee's has a theory about lunch. After their new lunch combos featuring the artisan grilled chicken ciabatta sandwich go down, productivity goes up. See you tomorrow. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
At Advance Auto Parts, getting your parts fast is your advance advantage. When you order your parts at AdvanceAutoParts.com, you can pick them up in-store within just 30 minutes. Yeah, that's so fast, we measure it in minutes. Plus, right now, you can save $1.50 each by mail on Denso Platinum TT Spark Plugs. That's a savings of up to $12. Get your parts in minutes, save dollars, only at
Advance Auto Parts.
Mailing rebate void where prohibited. See store for details.
Safe Auto gets it. That's why they help keep you in your car with the right car insurance for the right price right now. Because at Safe Auto, what drives us drives you. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis, Baldwin, Arnold, Town and Country, and the World.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
From ABC News.